Times Cassie. We're broadcasting live on WOBC 91.5 FM, Oberlin Public Radio.
I'm Sonia Oram.
Cassie is busy practicing for the concerto competition.
Okay. Excuse me while I find an important list. As I said, Cassie is busy preparing for the concerto competition, playing this. So she is in all of our prayers. I expect that she'd begin coming on the show in October after the competition is over and she's back from visiting her boyfriend Chris in San Diego. I apologize about my voice. I have a bad cold that's been going around Oberlin. It's pretty contagious. Whenever I hear someone else cough in class, I think, wow, coughing sounds like such a nice idea. I'm sure you don't want to listen to my voice any more than I do, so let's listen to Peter Schickele's voice.
First started doing concerts of the music of P.D.Q. Bach, I managed to slip a little something of my own on. It was a piece called the Quodlibet. Working around P.D.Q. Bach's music as long as I have, there's one trait of his which has rubbed off on me more than any other, and that is plagiarism. This Quodlibet was a piece which had not a single original theme in it. It was all quotes from other pieces. It was combinations of Beethoven's symphony with T for Two, and the piece was so successful, everybody went out whistling the tunes and everything, that I managed to persuade the producers of this concert to let me put on another one of my pieces, which I also wrote. And this piece is called The Unbegun Symphony. Now, you may notice on your program that it only has a third and a fourth movement. This is because I was born too late to get a chance to write the first two movements. So it is The Unbegun Symphony. Now, it used to be called The Pathetic Symphony. Now, these names, as you may know, like the Jupiter Symphony and the Eroica Symphony, are usually not given by the composer. They're given by friends or the musicians and stuff. And this name, the Pathetic Symphony, was given to my piece by some of my old friends. Well, I have a new set of friends now, and we're calling it the Unbegun Symphony. So I won't say anything about it except that be prepared to hear things that you've heard before. Well, let's let it go at that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Berkeley's Unbegun Symphony. You're listening to WOBC 91.5 FM Oberlin Public Radio. Please call in and say hello at 440-775-8139. That's 440-775-8139. All right, I'm trying out a new technique here, so bear with me.
Okay, ready, boys? Yeah.
Yeah.
Take 14. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Teenagers think they know everything.
The summer's good for Tulux. No pansies disagree. They find the heat most distasteful and humidity. Far too grim to stand up tall or bargain with the bees. They prefer to droop and mope and wait for autumn's breeze. Wait for autumn's breeze. Let some fall and sends them quick to their demise. Without so much a bon voyage or even a goodbye, even a goodbye.
All right, let's move on to the weather. Today, right,
the winter's good for penguins, the brown bears must object. When talk comes to the joys of winter, they must interject. Hibernating in the snow just isn't where it's at.
77.
Cause sleeping makes you skinny, and we bears like to be fat. We like to be fat.
That is true for Oberlin.
A springtime is a season where everyone's a friend. Loneliness and desperation both come to an end. No matter how you die through winter and
I'm interested because I have really bad seasonal allergies.
Southeastern United States.
Except South Florida. Open woodlands, generally on moist, well-drained soil, along fence rows, oil fields, landscape as ornamental small tree. Sassafras. So be careful about sassafras because apparently it is an allergen.
That's really interesting.
Also, scarlet pimpernel. Whoa, it's a lawn weed? In disturbed areas. I wonder what that means.
Yeah.
Throughout North America to North Florida, except in very coldest regions. So that's also...
You know, I really don't have very many, like, allergies until I actually come to college where you're living in such close proximity.
That was Thomas Carroll playing the unnatural trumpet in a piece I wrote for my CD. It is exclusive material that I will hopefully be releasing in November. Next week on Happy Times with Sonia and sometimes Cassie will be the day before Yom Kippur. In honor of the holiday, I will list everybody's sins that they want to atone for. So send me your sins at soniaorum@oberlin.edu. That's SONIAORAM. Or look out for a box I'll leave in Wilder where you can leave some. We have other events planned, but I just don't know what they are yet. So tune in next week to find out.
Yeah, take 14. 1, 2, 3.
good for tulips, though pansies disagree. They find the heat most distasteful and humidity far too grim to stand up tall or bargain with the bees. They prefer to droop and mope and wait for autumn's breeze, wait for autumn's breeze. So much a bone fire, or even a goodbye.
Get up and play,
and
if anything you like to do, as long as you're up and moving. So get up and play an hour a day. For fun playtime ideas, go to health areas.
The winner's good for penguins, the brown bears must object. When talk comes to the joys of winter, they must interject. Hibernating in the snow just isn't where it's at.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Navy Council,
and we bears like to be fat. We like to be fat.
I just want... Oh, shoot. Play.
Okay, ready for it? Right.
Yes. Yes. Thanks for bearing with me
one,
today.
Two, okay.
Cool. Let's do that one again. Your mother spent the next 10 years worrying about you every single night.
The summer's good for tulips, though pansies disagree. They find the heat most distasteful and humidity far too grim to stand up tall or bargain with the bees. They prefer to droop and mope and wait for autumn's breeze, wait for autumn's breeze. The autumn's good for pumpkins, though apples don't approve. The trees that they've been living on now forces them to move. Rudely let some fall and send them quick to their demise.
But here's the deal.
Without
one
so much a bon voyage or even a goodbye, even a goodbye.
Friends, even not so friendly people. All it takes is a few clicks and your image could be all over the internet. So think before you post.
The winner's good for penguins, the brown bears must object. When talk comes to the joys of winter, they must interject. Hibernating in the snow just isn't where it's at. 'Cause sleeping makes you skinny, and we bears like to be fat. We like to be fat.
And now it's time for my old radio show. The second movement of this is going on my new CD, but the rest of it will not be released. So feel lucky that you are listening to it now. You'll hear my voice sounding much less sick because I recorded this last year. This is your friendly host, Sonia Oram, broadcasting from the Egg Harbor Studios in Wisconsin. And we have an exciting treat in store for you today. We are going to play for you the premiere of a recently discovered work. This score was found in the basement of the Historical Performance Museum in Berlin, and the piece was written by an until now forgotten composer named Parolelli Ponticini.
Ponticini's birth records cannot be found, but based on the style of his music, we can guess that he lived sometime between the years of 1791 and 1827. The score did not need much reviving, because even though a few notes were illegible due to wear and tear, musicologists were able to easily figure out what these notes must have been through careful analysis of the work. I've taken a look at the score myself, and I'm pretty excited to hear what it's going to sound like today. We're broadcasting from the Longhouse Performing Arts Center down here in Wisconsin, and we are going to hear the Strife String Quartet all the way from Watatok, Missouri. The audience is pretty full tonight, and I think they're ready for a great treat.
Thank you.
well, that was the Strife String Quartet performing Parallelli Ponticini's discovered work. Second movement is being released on my new CD. You're listening to Happy Times with Sonia and sometimes Cassie. We're broadcasting live on WOBC 91.5 FM Oberlin Public Radio. I'm Sonia Oram. To learn more about me, visit my website at www.soniaoram.com. That's S-O-N-I-A-O-R-A-M. Please call in to say hi at 440-775-8139. At 8 o'clock, we have In the Mood with Maggie Gruner. I think I'm saying her name right. I hope you're prepared to get in the mood, whatever mood that may be. And wrapping up this morning, which the sun has now come out, we're going to listen to Peter Schickele's 1712 Overture. My friend John told me about this one, and I always enjoy it.
Schickli's 1712 Overture. You're listening to WOBC 91.5 FM, Oberlin College and Community Radio. I'm Sonia Oram. Don't forget to send me your sins next week for Yom Kippur, and I'll read them on the air. You can email me at sonia.oram@oberlin.edu. That's SONIAORAM. And while we prepare for our next show, let's just read a little bit about global warming to start off the day. You can, like, get ready if you want. This is from the New York Times. On February 2nd, 2007, the United Nations Scientific Panel studying climate change declared that the evidence of a warming trend is unequivocal and that human activity has very likely been the driving force in that change over the last 50 years. The last report by the group, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change in 2001, has found that humanity had likely played a role. The addition of that single word, very, did more than reflect mounting scientific evidence that the release of carbon dioxide and other heat-trapping gases from smokestacks, tailpipes, and burning forests has played a central role in raising the average surface temperature of the Earth by more than 1 degree Fahrenheit since 1900. It also added new momentum to a debate that now seems centered less over whether humans are warming the planet, but instead over what to do about it. In recent months, business groups have banded together to make unprecedented calls for federal regulation of greenhouse gases. The subject had a red carpet moment when former Vice President Al Gore's documentary, An Inconvenient Truth, was awarded an Oscar, and the Supreme Court made its first global warming-related decision, ruling 5-4 that the Environmental Protection Agency had not justified its position and that it was not authorized to regulate carbon dioxide. The greenhouse effect has been part of the Earth's workings since its earliest days. Gases like carbon dioxide and methane allow sunlight to reach the Earth, but prevent some of the resulting heat from radiating back out into space. Without the greenhouse effect, the planet would never have warmed enough to allow life to form. But as ever larger amounts of carbon dioxide have been released, along with the development of industrial economies, the atmosphere has grown warmer at an accelerating rate. Since 1970, temperatures have gone up at nearly 3 times the average for the 20th century. The latest report from the climate panel predicted that the global climate is likely to rise between 3.5 and 8 degrees Fahrenheit if the carbon dioxide concentration in the atmosphere reaches twice the level of 1750. All right, thank you for joining me today, and I will sign off and see you next week at 7 a.m.